Okay, a very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday class, 8th of September 2020. We will continue with our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 202, lesson 41. This is the last lesson before the appendix. We stop at part 2.1, so we will continue with part 2.2 of this. So today's topic is very interesting. It's about the Four Noble Truths. Since this is our last lesson, I will explain more, I will elaborate on it. According to the notes, we just list out to you the Four Noble Truths. So in Pali, the Four Noble Truths is called Chattari Arya Satcha. Arya is noble one. Satcha is truth. So Arya Satcha is noble truth. Chattari is four. So Chattari Arya Satcha means four noble truth. And this four noble truth is very unique because it is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. When you understand this four noble truth, you can understand life. You can understand all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. So this shows to us how unique the Buddha's teaching is all about. Because his teaching is so powerful after his perfect enlightenment, his fully enlightened realization. He was able to summarize to us all of life, both mundane and supramundane, into just four noble truths. And these are not ordinary truths. They are called noble truths because when you understand them, you will become noble ones or enlightened ones. So that is the uniqueness of his teaching. Noble truth in the sense that it can give rise to enlightenment or awakening. When you understand this truth, it will transform your understanding and you can become noble ones, yes, enlightened beings. So we will go into all this later. So before we start the sharing as usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So this meditation is very simple, as I've explained. You just have to relax body and mind, completely relax and feel yourself at ease. Because meditation is to relax yourself and maintain awareness. So relax, maintain awareness. Then your meditation will slowly develop. For those who have developed the spiritual faculty and the understanding, you will go into the meditative state very fast, almost immediately. And for those who are new, maybe you need to be a bit patient. Just relax, whatever that arises, relax into it. Both body and mind relax. When thought arise, let it be. Whatever sensation arise, let it be. Just silent, maintain awareness. As long as your thinking is not active, you will be able to realize your silent mind, your true mind within your nature. So thought is the one that distracts you. When you think, when you arise a thought, it will distract you. It will make you heedless. It will draw you away from your true mind, your awareness nature. Because when you start to think, you start to create thought process. Then you get yourself preoccupied with what you think. Then that thinking will condition you into various emotions. Reaction of mind and also proliferation of thought process So thinking without understanding and awareness or mindfulness become heedless thinking. Whereas if you have mindfulness and awareness, you can arise the appropriate right thought, which is the appropriate right thought process that you need to live life. So right thought based on right understanding and right view is the basis of living the proper life, following the Dhamma way. So unless you have developed the wisdom and the understanding of life and the teaching, chances are you cannot arise right thought. That's the reason why all meditations start with training the mind to be aware, to be mindful, so that we can observe, see, and understand what is going on in life, so that we can understand our own form and mind, understand who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being, and how we arise the mundane mind, the thinking mind, that condition, other activity. How do we know the world? How do we interact with the world? We need the physical body with the senses. We need the mind or the consciousness which is trapped within. So upon contact of mind with the sense basis, it arises the respective sense door consciousness. That's how you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you think, and what you feel. That's how you know the world. That's how you interact with the world. That's how you become like exist, animated into a human being or a living being. But meditation is to observe all this and understand and find out what is this human being all about, the five aggregates of form and mind. Is it in accordance with the Buddha's teaching? And if it's in accordance, after you have developed the understanding and the awakening, your mind state become different. You will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Without delusion, there is no self-delusion or sakkayadity. So ignorance is the main culprit. Ignorant condition, delusion. And the main cause of delusion is the sakkayadity, self-delusion. Means you believe this five aggregate of form and mind is real. You believe this five aggregate of form and mind is what you are. That's how you develop the egoic mind, the personality, and from there you attach, you cling, you hold. Just you want to own things, possess things, have things, control things. That's how all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion arise. So all this is meditation. So now I will off the light and let you proceed with your meditation. I will set the alarm for half an hour. So remember, relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness until the mind settle down and become very quiet and very still. Then stay there. You have to realize the true mind, the silent mind, until it is very clear to you that you have two minds. One is the mundane mind, thinking mind, dependent originating mind. That is the one that create thought. That is the one that create emotion. That is the one that can become conscious. And that is the one that has the views, opinion, and the conditioning, and the belief system, everything accumulated as memory. And from there you respond, you live your life. That's how you get yourself entangled. So find out all this, see it clearly. While in the formal meditation, most of the time it's just training your mind to be aware first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So just do that. Then when you have stabilized your true mind, you will have the ability to understand many things. Meditation start when your silent mind arise, when you are with your true mind. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. You can do the meditation correctly, you will be very calm, very peaceful, and very quiet. Yeah, you are most of the time just aware. Whatever that arises through the senses, just let it be aware, finish, aware, finish. It's just like mind sweeping method, feel, relax. But here, just aware. No need to know. Stabilize that nature. Once that awareness stabilizes, you can meditate. You can understand many things. You can become very sensitive. You can become heedful. Because the awareness is the basis of your true mind. When you are in that state, you are without thought. You are the state, you are in a state of tranquility, stillness, clarity, awareness, and that mind can understand, can awaken, can insight into phenomena, can develop wisdom. That is the meditative mind, that is your true mind. So all of meditation is to realize that, stabilize it, then use it to meditate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. And when you come out of the meditation, you will be in a state of awareness. Most of the time you are just aware, calm, peaceful. Then you continue to develop the stability of daily mindfulness and awareness. Arising only specific phenomenal awareness. Or spacious awareness without a center. You only arise a thought when you need to use it to live life, to interact, to communicate, to understand things. Apart from that, most of the time, there is no need for thought. Thought is a tool for you to use to develop understanding, to cultivate, to arise the right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and to live the wholesome life. So all this understanding will arise when you develop the meditation correctly. Turn to page 202, 2.2. Tonight, our discussion topic is the Four Noble Truths. In bracket, it is called Chattari Arya Satya. These are the Pali equivalent. Chattari is four. Arya is noble ones. Satya is true. So the Pali equivalent for Four Noble Truths. And this is a very important teaching, like I explained just now. Basically, this Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. All Sammasambuddha teach the same. They summarize all of life, all of their understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths is very unique because it is equivalent to the secret of life. Because this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha was able to summarize all of his understanding into this four number 12. And within this four number 12, he explained to us all of life, both the mundane and supramundane aspect. That's why it's a very powerful teaching, it's very unique. And when you understand all of life, both mundane and supramundane, you will know how to live life. Because that understanding will give rise to wisdom. That's the reason why it's called Noble Truth. Means these are truths which can make you noble ones when you understand them. And in the time of the Buddha, noble ones are called enlightened ones. Because enlightened ones are very noble in all aspects of their understanding and life. For you to be enlightened, you must be very noble in all aspects of life. You must have right understanding of life. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path start off with right view, right understanding. So that right view with regards to the law that governs life and existence, the Panchaniyamas, they are very important, very powerful. They are the basis of truth. So the first noble quality of an enlightened being is to have right understanding or right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then when you have this noble understanding, you will know how to live life. That's how you will know how to arise the next power factor called right thought that will condition right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path comes about. From right view, it gives rise to right thought. Then it conditions right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So if you look at life, we need to arise our thought process to live life. We need to communicate with people. We need to speak. We need to act. We need to interact. So all these power factors are related to life. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. These are noble qualities of enlightened beings. That's the reason why that teaching is so powerful. When you have right view, you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life. Then you know how to avoid all evil by holding on to the right view to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, so that you do not conduct yourself heedlessly, giving rise to wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood based on wrong view, based on delusion, based on ignorance. So basically, that is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, to enable you to avoid all evil, to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom, the awakening, so that you are not deluded. Then Noble Eightfold Path also has the power factor of right effort, the four right effort, to purify, to transform the living beings. When you apply right effort to overcome or to abandon your wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, you are starting to purify. And when you develop the appropriate understanding, you can arise the right effort to prevent all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood from arising. Because you have the initial wisdom, the understanding. And when you see them, it will not arise. That these are not beneficial, not conducive for the holy life. It is not wholesome. So the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you will understand them. You will be mindful and heedful enough to see them. That's how you can arise the right effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. Then the next two right effort is to develop the contemplative wisdom and understanding To cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then after that, the final right effort is to arise the right effort to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have started to develop and cultivate, and to perfect them all until they become a part of your nature. That's how you have the embodiment of all this noble quality of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort to constantly purify and transform and become a real human being. Then after that, the last two power factors are right mindfulness, or what we call awareness. So when you have awareness, you are with the true mind. You are silent, you are just aware, you have clarity of mind. Then you can understand what is going on. There is real observation, understanding, awakening. You can then see things as they are, insight into phenomena, arise the direct seeing, the awakening. So all this is only possible if you have developed sati or mindfulness or awareness. So the power factor of sati is very important. That's why it is the first enlightenment factor. Without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. Without sati, you cannot develop the related cultivation, like keeping of your precept, cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, develop sensitivity of mind to be aware, to understand clearly through observation, through your silent mind, to insight into phenomena, to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, to understand paticca-samuppanna. All this needs sati. Then finally, when you stabilize that sati, it becomes samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are and develop the clear understanding, the wisdom, and the awakening. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path fall into place, and you are transformed. And that's how you become noble ones or enlightened ones, with all the noble qualities of the Noble Eightfold Path. So that is the reason for the teaching to be called the Four Noble Truths, instead of just ordinary ultimate truth or special truth or whatever. No, the Buddha called it Noble Truth. Yeah, these are truths that can enable you to understand all this teaching that can transform you, awaken you, and make you noble ones, enlightened ones. So the teaching of the Buddha is very unique. Whatever that you learn, cultivate, or develop through your meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby realizing the Four Noble Truths, it is not the teaching of Lord Buddha. His teaching is very simple. Noble Eightfold Path. You have to cultivate this until it becomes a part of you. Then you have the embodiments of the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. These are noble qualities within the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's called Noble Eightfold Path. It is one path with the eight noble qualities, which I have explained just now, starting with right view, samadhi, or right understanding of nature's truth, nature's law that governs life and existence. And there are five. Nature's universal order. The Buddha called it Pancha Niyamas. The first two are scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama, means the physical law of nature and the biological law of nature. And these two scientific law, when the scientists develop understanding of it, They progress very fast. They transform very fast. That's how our civilization evolved and transformed very, very fast over the last 30 to 40 years compared to the written recorded history of 5,000 over years. 5,000 over years before this last 30, 40 years, we are so backward, so primitive. It's only within the last 30, 40 years we progress tremendously. We transform a lot because scientists have major breakthrough, the understanding of these two laws. So similarly, the Buddha understood the next three universal order, the spiritual law. He called it the law of karma, karma niyama, and the law of mind, means how our human mind, living beings' mind function, citta niyama. It follows the 12 paticchasamuppada, dependent origination. That's the reason why the Buddha came to realize everything within our universe, all phenomena, they are not a permanent unchanging entity. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. No reality, not what you think. And understanding that awakens, it transforms us. Our understanding becomes totally different. That's how delusion, ignorance can be rooted out. Then we will not be deceived by the form and mind, by the phenomenal world of consciousness, by what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Our sense of activity and consciousness become clear to us. Without delusion, we are beautiful, our mind liberates, then we can use it to live life, to develop the understanding of life, then we can really become beautiful. Then we can have the good life, then we can live life to the fullest. We can get to experience all the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life become meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful because no more suffering, no more delusion, no more ignorance. Our mind state is constantly within the heedfulness type of existence. Heedful living is so different from the heedless living. Heedful living need wisdom, need understanding, need mindfulness, need the Noble Eightfold Path qualities or embodiments of the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. So all this understanding is really beautiful. And when you really understand the Dhamma, you will have a lot of joy. You will have a lot of gratitude, compassion, love, and understanding. Then you become a blessing to all. You are so beautiful. So that is the amazing part of the teaching. That is the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. So now with this understanding and summary, I will zero into the teaching. Then you will find it very, very useful. Why I call it the secret of life. Why I say this Four Noble Truths is the embodiment of the complete understanding of Lord Buddha, the fully enlightened one. Then how he summarized all of his understanding into just Four Noble Truths that explain to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect. That's why I call it the secret of life. When I understand this Four Noble Truths, I understand life. I know how to live life. I know how to transform my form and mind into a beautiful karmic nature so that it can reap the fruit of its hard work. It can get to live the third phase of Dhamma, Bodhisattva, the life of enlightened being. So first phase of Dhamma is Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. So you go through the Four Noble Truths and these three turning, then you learn the teaching. After that, you put it into practice. That's how the second phase of Dhamma come in. The Buddha call it Patipatti. After you have learned the teaching, for it to be useful, he said, you must put it into practice in daily life. You must cultivate it so that you truly understand the teaching, so that you can apply the teaching. Otherwise, it doesn't serve you, because knowledge alone cannot help you. Knowledge cannot free your mind. With knowledge, you will still get yourself entangled and afflicted. When you confront life realities without understanding, without true understanding, you cannot free your mind. You will still be miserable, afflicted. So now I will go in. The Four Noble Truths consists of four very important truths. The first noble truth the Buddha proclaimed, the realities of life and existence. He said, each and every one of us living being, if we live life long enough, we will confront all this life's reality. So everything that arises in life, that exists in life, he summarized them into the first noble truth. He said there is this noble truth of dukkha. Dukkha means unsatisfactoriness, suffering, misery, affliction, or they call mental suffering, pain, leading to sorrow, lamentation, negativity of mind state, depression, suicidal thought, all those things. So this noble truth of dukkha is very important. The Buddha said there are eight conditions in our universe when we go through life. If you confront them without the wisdom as taught by him or the understanding of this Dhamma, you will suffer, he said. You will be afflicted. That's why it's called the noble truth of suffering. The Buddha never said life is suffering. No. He said in life, there are a lot of conditions that can bring about suffering. That's why he said there is this noble truth that explains to you clearly the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. If you don't know this teaching, you don't have this Dhamma understanding. So these eight conditions are the realities of life and existence. He said if you were to go through life, you will experience first four reality, which is birth, old age, sickness and death. And this one, we have actually heard about it many times. Especially Chinese, our tradition, we always talk about this, Sheng Lao Bing Si. But the funny thing is, in the olden days, the philosophers, the people who wants to understand life and religion, they always talk about this, Sheng Lao Bing Si. But modern days, Chinese, where we are exposed to education and all the what they call Western influence and also the materialistic world, when we hear about these four conditions, Sheng Lao Bing Si, we try to avoid. Hey, che, don't talk about this. Better talk about something else nicer in life. All things go and talk about birth, old age, sickness and death, as if nothing good will come by, because they don't understand what birth, old age, sickness and death is. So they want to postpone their problem. due to ignorance. That's why they never look at it. But you can't blame them, because when they are young, to them it's like no meaning, no relevant. Now I want to enjoy life. My life is so beautiful, so interesting. I really got time to listen to all this religious thing. Why birth so difficult to understand? I was born into this world. That's why birth is looking forward to the new moon day, or full moon day, or they call it one, after 1 month is called Mua Gui, means the full month, full Monday. Then they celebrate, then those who can afford, it like bring about joy, everything. But they didn't see the opposite, which can also happen. When the birth process is not normal, when it has complication, then the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the misery, the affliction, that one will hit. Unless they experience that, they don't understand. But the Buddha knew. That's why in his first Noble Truth, we say, when you confront birth, when you go through old age, when you fall into disease and sickness, and one day you will have to die. So birth, old age, sickness, and death are life reality, the Buddha said. Sooner or later, you have to confront them. If you confront them without wisdom, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. That is what the Noble Truth is. So you have to reflect into it, contemplate deep into it, and develop the understanding. Maybe getting old, getting sick, and death. For young people, it's not easy to understand or comprehend where you haven't gone through the stages. But for people who has lived life long enough, especially those who are 50 years and above, they start to feel them. Even my daughter, their age group is 40, they also start to see the difference. They can start to understand now. They are no longer like before, still young, very energetic, very adventurous, ambitious, can do what they want. Then they start to develop understanding as they go through life, as they age. So all these are part and parcel of the Noble Truth. What the Buddha wants you to understand is, these are realities. Means everybody, as long as you live life long enough, you will confront them. Which means you are not the only person in this universe or this world to confront them. Yeah. That's why when you are hit by the suffering conditioned by birth, old age, sickness or disease, especially traumatic disease and death of a loved one, or confronting pending death, don't be miserable, don't be unhappy, don't worry about it, don't project your thought. Why? Because this is a reality. It won't only happen to you. Everybody, if you live life long enough, sooner or later you will be afflicted if you don't have the understanding of the teaching. That's the reason why it's very important to learn the teaching before you confront them, so that you can free your mind, so that you are not afflicted. So if it's a universal problem that applies to all, when it happens, you have to reflect and ask yourself, if this is a reality, what must I do? I have to accept it, isn't it? Everybody has to confront it. Then what is the difference between a person who doesn't have the Dhamma and a person who has the Dhamma understanding? The person who doesn't have the Dhamma understanding, they will panic. They will become afflicted. They will suffer. They will become miserable, depending on the extent of suffering they arise, their karma and all those things. Whereas the other side of the coin for one who has the Dhamma, the teaching, the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, they can accept this reality, no problem, and they can move on. Because to them, this is the reality. So what? I accept. Because sooner or later, we have to confront them. And when the condition arises for us to confront them, we must confront them with wisdom, with understanding. That's why in the teaching, there are many aspects of the Buddha's teaching that teaches how to deal with the First Noble Truth reality, especially the first teaching, the five daily contemplation, which he taught the monks and the lay disciples. He said, every day you must contemplate, reflect on this five daily contemplation. He said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, yes, sick and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Why? Because this body is made up of elements, no knowing cannot be you. And this one goes the way of nature, follow nature's law. So this one is not real, not you. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why you cannot cling, grasp and hold on to it. You cannot delude the ego and believe that this is me, this is I. If you hold on to this physical body believing that it's you, then what will happen? You will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. When you confront them, you know it's miserable. But when you know it is not you, it goes the way of nature, then you need not suffer. In the sense that you use it to serve you while it can still serve you. You need to take care, you take care so that it lasts longer, like your car, maintain it well. When that will happen? But if you need to seek a cure or a solution, do it. Develop understanding and wisdom. Then you can use it for a longer period. It will serve you well. It will serve you longer. Then take care of karma, avoid evil, do good, purify your mind, develop understanding. So all this will help you. Then number four is also very important. Number four, daily contemplation, is to help you deal with the fifth, sixth, and seventh reality. The Buddha said, all these things, your loved one, your prized possession, your reputation, your career, they are all dependent originating, condition arising. They don't really belong to you. When there is condition for you to own them, possess them, have them, it's as if it belongs to you. But when conditions is to be, it will separate from you. So separation is a reality. Separation from your loved one, your prized possession, your whatever loved ones, they will happen. So separation, when you understand, you will be able to tackle them when it happens. So separation can happen in many ways. The Buddha said, relationship failure is a type of separation. When your relationship with your loved ones fall apart, especially married couples, spouse, then what happens? They decide to end the relationship or they decide not to continue with it. Then you get yourself jilted. Or they say, they dump you like a coconut. Then sometimes it leads to divorce. Very traumatic separation. Sometimes they have suicidal thought. Sometimes the hatred is so strong, the repercussion is very, very strong. Then sometimes separation, not only within married spouse, it can also happen to unmarried people. when relationship doesn't develop continuity, the younger generation people can be really afflicted. But nowadays, new generation of kids, maybe to them it's very common to actually separate. When you don't see eye to eye, when you don't have the consensus, you decide to break up. They were just break up like that. So I was really amazed at the way they do things. Sometimes they say they change boyfriend and girlfriend like changing clothes very fast. That is the modern civilization. But in the ancient day, there are pro and con. Relationship normally lasts longer, but when it comes to separation, it can be very traumatic too. Then sometimes separation from your children, your loved one, due to calamity, war, riots, or flood, landslide, or even tsunami and all those things. So separation can happen. Sometimes due to poverty, you are forced to separate from your children. You have to give them away. So in the ancient day of slavery and all those things, there are a lot of forced separation. Then the other type of suffering is when you do not have the understanding of life, when you are with people whom you don't like, you also suffer. You also become miserable. Example of this are in the career life, when you have bosses or superior who are not easy to work with, to deal with. Some of them has this very funny type of character. They went for special training, management course and all those things. Then they come back, become CEO. Then they have this management by fear and harassment. They put fear into you, they harass you and squeeze every drop of juice out of you for what they have paid you. So they really stress you out and make you sweat for whatever salary that they pay you. So when you are under such situation, it's not easy for you to endure. So when you are with people whom you don't like, you suffer. Then the other example is when your in-laws are not so kind or so pleasant. So you will also meet with a lot of problems, especially mother-in-law. I think father-in-law is less. But sometimes the opposite, daughter-in-law also give a lot of problem to the parents, the in-laws. So all these are the reality. Then when you go to school, even the children, they are not free from this. They have to confront the gangster. They call it the bullies in the school. Their life also miserable. These are also people whom you don't like. Then there are certain type of teacher who are very fierce, very violent, especially disciplinary teachers and other things. So these are people whom you don't like or difficult for you to have relationship with. Sometimes your neighbor may not be so friendly. Then sometimes because of misunderstanding, your own brothers and sisters, your own parents and children. So all this can lead to conditions that arise under the sixth condition, when you are with people whom you don't like, suffering will be the result. Then number seven is when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, suffering arises. You expect your brothers, your sister, your spouse to understand you, to remember your birthday, then to provide for you, to care for you. But you realize They are not forthcoming. They are by nature selfish, and they have their own way of thinking. So when you confront all this reality without understanding, without the Dhamma, you will become afflicted, miserable, unhappy, sorrowful, miserable. So all this summarized to us the reality of life and existence. So not only we call them by birth, old age, sickness and death. Now modern terminology or modern terms, they have better words to replace all this. Like the birth process. Now they have this what they call confinement center to look after the mother after they deliver. Then the birth of a newborn child, they look forward to the full moon day. They look forward to become father, to become mother, to become parents, to become grandparents and all those things. So when you talk to people in modern day term and terminology, they can relate more. But when something happened to the child, then complication arise, then many things can turn suffer, sour. Means it will not go the way you expect it to be. And especially getting old, aging. Now, the modern term is when you go through aging, your senses fail you. Your organ fail you. Your health deteriorate. You are more prone to sickness and disease. You suffer more. You become more miserable. Then when you grow old, sometimes certain type of very traumatic and scary disease can happen. You can have dementia, they call it. So dementia is a type of disease that is very troublesome. Then there is also what they call rheumatism. There is also this what they call when you cannot support yourself, when you are dependent, when you go to old age, your leg may not deliver the type of strength, then you have to be on wheelchair, then you have to be bedridden, then all sorts of funny disease and illness starts to arise. So everything that happened actually is very frightening. So if you look at old age sickness and disease, especially traumatic disease, stroke, heart attack, kidney failure, HIV, and even now COVID-19 is not easy. It attack your lungs and all those things. Then diabetes. So diabetes is a slow disease. From diabetes, everything else follow. So when you have diabetes, your blood has too much sugar. Then when your heart pump and nourish the blood to all your organs, then your organ overwork because of diabetes, because it has to filter and it has to clear all the toxin and discharge all the extra sugar and all those things. And diabetic is a silent killer because it slowly, slowly destroy your organ. It starts with your eye. You start to develop blindness and all those things. Then after that, it will affect your other organ. If you are not careful, it leads to kidney failure. Because the drug that you take, if it's not compatible, that's why they check your kidney function. So it can have side effect, cause kidney to fail. Sometimes it leads to heart failure too. then sometimes when your liver is subject to too much work, overwork, the kidney also will start to deteriorate. So all these are very traumatic. So the modern terminology, they call it health problem, old age problem. There is another word for dementia. What is the other word for dementia? Senile, of course, is another word. But there is another one I remember. Apart from dementia, there is another word. Never mind. When I remember, I tell you. Oh, you all go and check it out. So, old people are very scared of going through that type of disease. Then, death, of course, is very traumatic to many people, especially death of a loved one, death of a sole breadwinner of the house, pending death of the individual. When you confront life and death through terminal disease and all those things, it's not easy to endure. Just like these are noble truth, realities of life and existence. So we have finished the first seven. Then the last one, the Buddha summarized as the final summary. He said, in short, it is due to our self-delusion that condition us to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha or suffering. So this five aggregate of form and mind is our human form and mind. There are two aspects to it. First, as a human being, we have a physical body, we have a consciousness trapped inside all the mundane mind, the mind. So these two, if you attach, you will suffer. You will be afflicted because you believe this is you. Then you deludedly cling on to it, hold on to it, and believe that this is real, this is what you are. Then you have an egoic mind, a personality. Then this personality will think in a selfish way because it wants to own things, possess things. That's a selfishness arise. And from selfishness, it arises the evil roots of greed, covetousness, desire, lust, all of the things that are related to this evil roots of greed, they will surface. Then because you believe you exist, whatever that goes the other way, when you cannot get what you want, when you want to push it away or dislike, or you become afflicted, affected, then you become angry, you become envy, jealous, then you become unhappy, your like and your dislike. So all these are the evil roots of hatred, negative craving, negative emotion. So when you become angry with a lot of negative tendency, you can become violent. That's why it can lead to war, misunderstanding, conflict, everything arise. Then when you lack understanding, when you don't understand certain things, you can arise the doubt. Then you project your thought, you develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation. And that is self-delusion. So greed, hatred, and delusion, these three are the evil roots. When you have psychiatry, self-delusion, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will arise. That's how it makes you miserable. It causes you suffering, like this physical body. If you think it's you, you attach and cling, what will happen when it grows old, gets sick and die? You will worry. You worry about you getting sick, getting old and die. That's why you have problem. And the Buddha left the palace because he saw this foresight, an old person, a sick person, and a dead person. Then the last one is a samana, a spiritual cultivator, yeah? Or a spiritual practitioner. Mm. That one motivated him to seek the answer to the spiritual way or Dhamma way. That's how she left the palace for 6 years in search for the answer to his problem, which is getting old, getting sick and die, because he thought this physical body belonged to him. He thought he has a problem. That's why underneath the Bodhi tree, when he became enlightened, he realized all this is not real, dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. And from there, he awakened. Then his problem is resolved. That's why old age, sickness and death is no more a problem. Then he continued to investigate and he realized even that mind, the consciousness trapped inside, is subdivided into the four aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, which is feeling, perception, Sankara activity or mental activity, mental states and consciousness. Then he realized all the four, they are impermanent. They come and they go and he didn't die. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity, non-self, not self. That's how he liberated. Then he used them. He realized the vehicle and the tool, the form and mind, is for him to use. So he used them. He used them with wisdom and understanding to live life to the fullest. And he don't attach and he don't cling. That's why he was never afflicted after that. That's how he free. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate form and mind is your thought process. Yeah. It's every moment of sense or consciousness when you see something, when you hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think of something. Upon contact, consciousness come to be. At the moment of arising of consciousness, he said, if you are mindful and aware, with the direct seeing, you can be aware. That is just the pure consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear, no one to smell, no one to taste, no one to tactile feel or think. It's just like that. Thing is just the way it is. In the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness, that consciousness, nothing else. But the problem come in when you go through your memory, your views, your opinion, your accumulated conditioning that introduces all the wrong view, your belief system, your religious belief, your tradition and all these things, your pantang and all those, all those, the thing that you believe in. Right and ritual, everything is it. When you act according to memory, which is the total accumulation of your experiences, good and bad, and your conditioning, then that is not acting at all. Because when you act according to that, that one is not wisdom. That one will lead to delusion, heedlessness. That's why your fear, your selfishness, your phobia, your insecurity, everything come in. Then when you input that content of consciousness, your mind will stir. Your mind will react to what you see through your habitual tendency, your belief system, your conditioning, your right and dislike, all the duality you start to create. And without the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, you cannot understand what is going on. Then you attach, you cling, you cross, you become afflicted because you give meaning. You hold on to them. Not able to see clearly that they are all impermanent. When you grasp and cling, it leads to suffering. That's why Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang. Then because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it is non-self. It is empty, not what you think. So all this understanding, if it doesn't come in, the final summary will take over. So whatever that is not included under the first seven reality, the in reality will cover them. That's why first number two is about the summary of all of life and existence within the mundane world. So this first noble truth is very powerful. It teaches us how to develop the understanding of all the realities of life and existence. So when you understand the first noble truth reality, then you will understand life. You will understand what constitutes suffering. When you confront this eight reality without wisdom, your mind becomes afflicted. Suffering arise, sorrow, lamentation, mental suffering, misery, all this arise. So the first noble truth of dukkha can actually help you to understand what suffering is. Then the Buddha said, after the first noble truth, you must develop the understanding of the second noble truth. Within this second noble truth, the Buddha explained, he said, all of suffering that arise after you confront the first noble truth reality due to your lack of understanding, there is a cause behind. And the cause behind is craving, the Buddha said. And craving, there are three types. First type is sensual craving, kama tanha. Then the second one is vibhava tanha. Bhava tanha, becoming. Craving to be, to become something. That one is bhava tanha, is a craving. Then the last one is vibhava tanha, craving not to be. So any of these three craving will result in your suffering, misery, affliction, dukkha. So if you understand the first noble truth, you understand the second noble truth, then you will know how to manage your life better, isn't it? If you know what is suffering from the first noble truth, the eight reality, then you know the cause of suffering is craving, born of self-delusion. Then you will know how to manage your life, isn't it? Then don't attach, don't cling, don't crave. Then root out sakkayaditti, self-delusion. When you root out sakkayaditti, self-delusion, there is no egoic mind, no personality, no entity within. That's why it is non-self. When it is non-self, then who craves, who clings, who grasps, who suffers? No one. That's why you must have the wisdom to awaken. So understanding the first and second noble truth can help you manage your life. Initially, maybe at knowledge level, it helps a bit, but it is not potent enough, not powerful enough. It is not, we use that word, penetrative enough to awaken. So if you apply Dhamma knowledge, you will end up doing what a lot of Buddhist practitioners do. Aya, let go la, don't attach la, don't cling la. The cause of suffering is craving ma, why crave? They can tell you, he know you, he know me, but they cannot do it. Because when it comes to their own personal experience, when they really confront it themselves, all the Dhamma fly out of the window. Because I heard a lot of Buddhists told me, share with me, they say, Pratyo, not easy. Other people can, we can advise, don't attach, don't cling, not so real, not what you think. He know you, he know me. But when it comes to your personal one, all the Dhamma gone. Ah, yo, my loved one, he got this disease, no, how, what to do, is it very expensive, You have any doctor, Then you start to worry, you start to project your thought. Then what happened to the Dhamma? Huh? The word let go doesn't apply because that is not the solution. When it comes to cultivation, if you still have delusion, you attach and cling and hold, then you go and practice letting go. There is no such practice. That's why the Buddha said wisdom cannot be practiced. Wisdom is an awakening. You have to awaken yourself. That's why in the teaching, even in the Buddhist hymn, it's said very clearly. Buddha merely showed the way. You yourself must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. So the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path need to be cultivated by the individual. And the wisdom is the awakening. It's not a knowledge. It cannot be taught. You cannot learn. You cannot practice Noble Eightfold Path. You can cultivate, but you cannot practice. It's not a repetitive thing where you practice, understand? Practice is knowledge-based. Like practicing to ride a bicycle, to cook, to play badminton. Now that one you practice, keep on repeating, keep on doing. But wisdom is an understanding. You need to awaken to it. You need to realize it. So don't go and do all those foolish things. Don't practice letting go. Practice non-attachment. There is no such practice. The Buddha said, nothing free your mind except wisdom. If you don't have yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with defilement. At the moment of sense experience, the defilement will condition you into craving. That's how the whole paticca-samuppada takes off. And you cannot do anything. That's why you need to develop the understanding of the teaching, then put it into cultivation. Then you cultivate the Dhamma. Then when you cultivate until you realize or awaken, then that wisdom can liberate your mind. Then you don't have to practice. But the moment you awaken, you have the understanding and the wisdom, what happened? You see clearly, you are not deluded by the phenomenal world. You will not be deceived by the reality of life and existence. Then you can accept the reality and move on. Then you can be at peace with everything. That's why there is no more problem. So is there a need to let go? Yeah, when you have that wisdom, you cannot hold, you cannot cling, you cannot be deceived. So there is no need to let go or detach. There is no such practice. If you don't have the wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. So don't go and do foolish things. Meditate, observe, develop the understanding and awaken through the direct seeing. Silence your mind more and more. So when you can do that, then when you awaken, you are not deluded, not deceived, you will not hold, you will not cling, you will not grasp. Then there is no need to practice letting go. Who let go? The one who hold on to let go. How can he let go? Without wisdom, he cannot let go. What he do is suppression. Just like a person getting angry. Then they say, "Ayo, I still have anger. Anger is an evil root. I should not have anger." So what they do? They suppress the anger. Every time they want to get angry, they suppress. No, I must not get angry. So suppression is the practice of letting go. But is that the real solution? Because you are suppressing your anger, your defilement. You don't have wisdom, that's why you have to suppress. In Cantonese, they say yan. Yan is actually suppression. It's not patient endurance. Patient endurance with wisdom is the real patient. So the one that suppress is yan, is not patient at all. Means they suppress it. They don't want to get angry. When fear comes, they try to not to become fearful. They like act as if they are enlightened. Cannot. Cultivation is not that way. cultivation need wisdom, need understanding and awakening. So cultivate means silent your mind, develop heedfulness to be aware. Then through that heedfulness, the awareness, you start to see, you start to insight into phenomena, you start to awaken. Then you understand the teaching, why the Buddha say everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. He know you, he know me, no one inside. Silence your mind and realize that and awaken to that. Not through theory and knowledge. All this will not help you. So I have finished the first two noble truths. Huh? Today one is in very great detail. Huh? I hope it can help you. Then the Buddha said, there is a third noble truth. When you understand his teaching, he said, suffering need not be. Suffering only arises when you don't have the understanding of his teaching. So when you have the understanding of his teaching, the Buddha said, there is a third noble truth that explains to you the cessation of dukkha. Means the one that leads to the realization of nibbana. Enlightenment in the here and now is possible. Suffering need not be. So when you understand that there is a third noble truth, you have joy. You have faith because there is like the light at the end of the tunnel. There is something you can do towards this noble truth, noble reality. So to overcome suffering, you must realize this third noble truth, which is the enlightenment in the here and now. Nibbana is to be realized in the here and now. Then the Buddha doesn't stop there. He said there is a fourth noble truth that explains to you how you can realize this enlightenment, Nibbana. He said, under the fourth noble truth, you see, there is this noble eightfold path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and now. That's why the Buddha is very, very compassionate and very wise. He not only tell you under the third noble truth that enlightenment in the here and now is possible, but he even teach you the way to realize it. That's why I said cultivation of the noble eightfold path is the meditation. Because when you cultivate that, it leads to the end of all suffering, which is enlightenment in the here and now. And you meditate to become enlightened, isn't it? And when you are enlightened, you are wise, no longer deluded, no more ignorant. That's why you won't suffer anymore. The form of mind that has the wisdom cannot suffer anymore. That's the reason why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path to have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path qualities, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It's so clear. It's so simple. So Noble Eightfold Path, I have gone through with you just now under the first noble truth or the earlier explanation. To be a noble one, you need noble qualities. Yeah. And the Noble Eightfold Path, all the eight noble qualities are related to life. So to understand life, you must have noble understanding of life. It's right view leading to right understanding. So right view and right understanding, samadhi, is the first path factor. So when you have right view, means you have wisdom. You understand the secret of life. You understand the five universal order that governs life and existence, which means you have wisdom, you understand life, and you know how to live life. That's why from right view, you arise all the other powerful, very powerful related noble path factors. From right view, you develop right thought. Then right thought develop right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the right way to communicate, to develop the understanding of life. Then when you communicate with people, You must have this understanding, which is the right view, or the right understanding, or the Dhamma understanding, to enable you to free. Because the first right view law of karma is very powerful. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is the fifth daily contemplation that just now I didn't share with you. I only share with you the first four. So the fifth daily contemplation is to remind you of the first right view. The right view with regards to this law of karma. So if you were to contemplate and reflect on this fifth contemplation every day, then you realize karma plays such a great role in our life. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And every moment, every instant, we are what we are because of our karma. So our entire life depends on karma. So what must you do? If you want to have the good life, you must take care of karma, so that karma can take care of your life. So how do we take care of karma? The law of karma says, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So in essence, to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil karma. Cultivate wholesome karma. Basically, that is the first two advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. Do good or cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is convenient. Then the third advice is, of course, meditate. Purify your mind to realize the wisdom and the understanding. So all this are the advice of the Buddha. And when you follow the advice of the Buddha, means you are taking care of karma. You are doing the correct thing. You are avoiding all evil, cultivating wholesomeness, then meditating to develop wisdom, to free your mind, to liberate your mind. So how do we avoid all evil? What is the advice of the Buddha? The Buddha, under the teaching, teaches the monk to at least keep the five precepts. That these five precepts constitute major evil. If you violate them, it brings about downfall. Because if you check the five precepts, each and every one of them, they have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion behind. And because of that, they constitute major evil. So if you keep your precept, means you can avoid all the major evil. Yeah. So this one we have gone through. Huh? You want to know further, you can listen to the other sharing. Then you can go to the website also to actually look for them. Huh? Then after you have the ability to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, and to understand what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you can start cultivating the precept. You undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, causing harm to fellow living beings, and the rest. So how do you undertake the training rule? Means you must be mindful, aware. Then whenever there is this condition for you to kill, harm, and cause suffering to fellow living beings, you will be able to be mindful of it in a way. And most of the time, the condition for it to arise is through your own self-delusion, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your anger, your violence, your craving, your desire, and your self-delusion. Without that, you can never kill and harm. Only a deluded person, selfish person, violent person can kill and harm and cause suffering to fellow living beings. So all this you can see in your meditation when you are mindful, when you are aware. That's how the Buddha said, after you keep your precept, you must go for the improvement or ennobling of precept. Means not only you don't kill, you don't harm, you cultivate the ennobling. What are the ennobling? They are the wholesome quality, opposite of the evil roots. Means you cultivate non-greed, non-violence, non-anger, non-hatred, non-envy, non-jealousy, non-attachment, craving and clinging. Then you cultivate what they call non-self-delusion. So all these are the ennobler. So to develop the ennobler, you must have the right view, starting with Noble Eightfold Path factor. That's how you develop mindfulness, heedfulness, and the four right effort to cultivate right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how the cultivation come about, and the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path factor 1 to 6. Then 7 and 8 is sati and samadhi. So all these are in the teaching, in the puja. They are all interrelated. They come together as one package. So with this understanding, you become very different. Then the Four Noble Truths become very beautiful. Then when you understand the Four Noble Truths, it's like you understand the secret of life. So when you understand the secret of life, you will know how to live life. Right? So how do you change? How do you transform and live life? When you know the First Noble Truth reality, every time you confront them, you tell yourself, this is the First Noble Truth reality. Prevalence of suffering is a universal reality. Everybody is subjected to it, not only me. So I must confront it with understanding. I accept the reality. Then I do not project my thought. I do not worry. I do not fear. Then I ask myself, what actually happened? If it's because I have done something wrong or neglect my health, my life, or commit certain mistake, then I have to face the consequence of karma. The First Noble Truth reality is all the consequence of karma. Then when you know that this is karmic, you can have right view to accept the reality, isn't it? Then if it's karma, what must you do? You do what you have to do. You have to resolve it amicably. That's why you start off with having this right understanding. If you need to ask for forgiveness, repent, do it. Then you have to vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. When you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and start to cultivate the Dhamma or attend Dhamma class to accumulate all the 10 meritorious actions and develop the wisdom, then you become different. You have started taking care of karma by following the advice of the Buddha. Then you develop more and more wholesomeness, which is more conducive for your life. Your karmic nature becomes beautiful. Then you have more condition for wholesomeness to arise. Then when you avoid all evil, you prevent the negativity of condition for more and more negative karma to arise. So your karmic nature will no longer go down like before. This is how you change your life, you transform your life. So by asking for forgiveness, repentance, then vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, you have started to turn around. Then the final step is after you have done all this for a while, after you accumulated enough karma, merits and wholesomeness, maybe after 3 or 6 months, then you can develop turnaround. Turnaround to what? You apply your what they call power of merits. Then you can invoke power of merits by the power of whatever merits or wholesomeness that I have developed or cultivated since the day I understand the Dhamma. Since the day I cultivate my precepts, since the day I keep my precept and cultivate the Dhamma, develop the meritorious action and understanding. All these are wholesome conduct, wholesome action and speech, and wholesome thought process. They will bring about wholesomeness. So by the power of whatever merits or wholesomeness that this nature of mind have cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for whatever you want it to help you, for your sickness or disease or whatever. You can even do it on behalf of your loved ones or your parents, your good friend and all those things, to recover to good mind state so that you can gain back your life again. So all these are the Dhamma way for you to turn around and improve your life and develop the understanding of application of Dhamma. So understanding this Four Noble Truth is very important. Then when you start to cultivate, you develop wisdom and understanding, especially Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom after you contemplate, reflect, and inquire. Then you become different. This understanding will stabilize in your nature. Then when you confront sense experience, the reality of life and existence, then you realize you become different. The Yoniso Manasikara will prompt you with the Dhamma. Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta. Straight away, you're free. You cannot be afflicted anymore. You won't grasp, you won't cling. Or people are just the way they are. The reality is conditioned like that, things will be like that. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. But then you become more and more peaceful. Your mind doesn't stir anymore. You doesn't simply like get excited and laugh at people anymore. You can have joy, but you will not be heedless anymore. The awareness is there, the wisdom is there, the understanding is there. That's how you transform, you become different. Then when your Yoniso Manasikara become more and more stable, you realize your mind doesn't stir like before with like and dislike. Because when you understand that thing is just the way it is, the reality is, you are always at peace. You always have joy. You can accept the reality of the moment. And you can be at peace at all times, with all situations, under all circumstances. That is what the Dhamma is. That is the Dhamma way. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, the secret of life, then you understand life, you know how to live life, and you know how to transform your life from a heedless way to a heedful way of living, to become beautiful, to become a blessing to all, to have the noble life, the good life, to enjoy the life of the Pativeda phase. Third phase of Dhamma. That's why you can get to experience all the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life become meaningful, wonderful, and full of joy, happiness, bliss. And everything is so beautiful, so pristine. Just the way it is. No reality. He know you, he know me. But there is such thing as karma. There is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. So all these are very beautiful, very helpful, very amazing. So with this, maybe we can end 10:14, just like that. So hopefully I have covered the whole lot of Four Noble Truths in a very complete way so that you can understand. And this recording can help you go through it, develop the understanding, then cultivate. So now I will read to you the Pali equivalent of the Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth of Dukkha is short form as dukkha. Dukkha, the English equivalent, is suffering, but it also includes unsatisfactoriness. Whatever that bring about unsatisfactoriness, like and dislike, is all dukkha. That's why craving is the cause of dukkha. Then the second noble truth is the cause of arising, which is samudaya. Dependent originating means the cause of arising, samudaya. That is the Pali word. Dukkha, samudaya, nirodha. Nirodha is cessation. Or sometimes they use the word extinction, but a more appropriate word is cessation of all suffering, which is the realization of nibbana. Then you have the last one, marga. Marga is the path or the way out of suffering. So the way or path out of suffering is the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the cessation of all dukkha. So in Pali, they always short form and call it dukkha, samudaya, nirodha, and marga. Okay, so with that, we will end. So you can maybe after the 3-minute toilet break, we come back, then you can report your meditation or ask any question related to the teaching and the Dhamma, especially today's teaching. It is so beautiful, so complete, and so wide a topic. So it can also put you to test whether you really understand the teaching or not. Okay. Yeah, so you can come in. Oh, haven't unmuted. Okay.
Okay. Berarti 听到吗?
听到了.
Okay. Berarti 我要 share 我的 一个 最近的那个 meditation 的 progress 和
okay. Very good.
Experience.
Yeah.
在 7月的时候 当我 after 听了 Bo Cheng 的那个 sharing 了以后 真的很 inspire 我 then 我就讲 要 meditate more 勤劳一点 then from there onwards 我就每天就 then from there 我就可以每天早上 6点我就可以起来 meditate so 我每天早上起来 meditate 45 minutes then after that 我就做 bowing 15分钟
Yeah.
这两个月我就看到那个 mind 从之前的很 cross 就慢慢的变成越来越 越来越静了 越来越 silent
yeah. More and more refined
So 我有一次我有个 experience 就是我在 很 silent relaxed 的在 meditate 的时候忽然间我可以看到那个 就很像那个 mundane mind 很 它很 busy 的就一下子又跑上去做 anapana 一下子又跑下来做 stay at the heart 这样
learn to see that movement is very fast that's why the nature and the mundane mind they are very near if you always have the thought the habitual tendency or whatever then that one move very fast like you say suddenly it will arise and want to do anapana then it will go here go there means that mundane mind is still doing a lot of those habitual things. But later on, as you stabilize that nature, that's why what you need to do is you have to stabilize that silence. Don't be too keen to know things or understand things. Because when you stabilize that nature, the awareness, that silent awareness within your nature, until very, very stable, then you realize when it's stable enough, there is nobody inside. Before the arising of the mundane mind, the egoic mind, there was nobody inside. He no you, he no me, nothing. It's just a nature. And that one, like I explained, cannot come out and live life. Understand? That one is not you, not an entity. That one is a nature, like your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. Your true nature. That nature is just nature, the unconditioned. The moment you arise a word or a thought or a concept or an aggregate, that is the mundane mind. That is not your nature. So your nature has nothing. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. Not that. But that one, is everything. You're from there. Like Hui Ning say, so amazing. It's from that nature that all Dhamma arise. Everything arise. See? Empty, not you. Yet, it is everything. Nothing, yet it is everything. You have to realize that. That one is more important. After you realize that, the movement that you are talking about become very easy to understand. Then that one can help many people. In fact, not only you, Song. After Pocheng share, many Kayamita actually become very serious, very different. And I receive a few. And they have become very different. They are moving into the awareness nature. They start to understand that. Then recently, I think there are a number of them. Yesterday also, I received one, which is very good. So keep it up with that silent. Be more and more stable with that silent awareness within. Don't try to know. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then later on, when that one becomes very stable, that nature is wisdom energy. That one can understand many things. Before the arising of thought, you can stay with that nature. It's the unconditioned. There is nothing at all. The moment something arises, you are already out of that nature. And that is the beauty. And that nature needs to be very stabilized. It's like the stages of Bodhi mind development, where you can illuminate that nature. That is stage 3, Bodhi mind development. You illuminate that nature clearly. That's why Ming Xing, Jian Xing. So when that happens, what you need is to relax into every mind state that arises, silent everything, and just let the awareness develop the understanding. Then after that, when you come out of it, you reflect and contemplate better. You will understand many things. And when you reflect, contemplate until the wisdom is so stable, until everything becomes very stable. Like yesterday, one of them who wrote to me is a lady. Yeah, very good. He said when she wake up from that meditation in the morning, it's like all of a sudden she understood clearly the deep understanding of the Surangama Sutta saying. He said perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. That one becomes so clear to her. That's why she was so amazed and so different. Then she realized that thing is so beautiful. Then she went into that state, which is so beautiful. That oneness nature, you stay with that nature. Then she used her own word, which is very beautiful. But because it's the first time she experienced it, I think she was very full of joy and happiness and all those things. But later on, the true description, the words can be very beautiful. It's actually the oneness nature. The nature is like one with everything because that is your nature. And that nature has no limit because it's the oneness nature. That's why it wants to know, it can know. It wants to manifest, it can manifest. But that nature itself is beyond words, beyond thought. You cannot talk about it. But the form and mind that went through that can understand what is going on. It can know what cessation is. Only that form and mind that go through that can understand. That's why the Buddha say the Dhamma is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Means that form and mind can realize it. Nobody else. That's why only the wise one. So what you have gone through is very good. So continue to stabilize that awareness nature, that silence. Then what you describe is very good. That mind, Mamandip mind, is so near and so fast. So that part, don't try to know too much when you are in the meditative state. But when you come out of it, it's okay. You can contemplate and reflect. But when you are inside there, don't. Just see it enough, aware enough. Then silent, then find out what happened. Then you will go through this phase. After a while, when that nature stabilizes, it becomes different again. And then you can share with me more understanding. You can continue from what you described just now.
Then after that, 我在 recall 的时候，我 is really like 你就很像看到有两个不一样的东啊啊，这个 awareness 看住那个啊满天麦啊，一直这样子跑上跑下啊。So then 我这几天后来我一直在 relax 跟 silent 的，在早上一直在 meditate 的时候，现在我变成我早上我的 meditation 是要很啊。Very relaxed, silent, 跟 aware, 可以 feel 到只是那个 heart, 啊，那个 heart 里面只是一个很 subtle 的一个 vibration.
Correct. The lady also finally end up with that. Just aware of that, aware of that. That is specific phenomenal awareness. Until that one become very clear and very subtle. Just stay with that, stay with that. Until that one cease, like what Po Ching went through, even the heartbeat also no more.
所以有一天它很 subtle 的在 vibrating， 它一 vibrate， 你要很 aware 跟很 relax， 你可以 feel 到它那个 vibration， 它就 spread out to the whole body 这样子。
That lady also felt there's a type of nature's energy coming in. Then different people, different experience, with different affinity. Very good.
But 这个是在 meditation 的一些experience， but 最beauty 的就是我回到了 daily life。我两个礼拜前，我忽然间我的mind它很像可以自己去 rectify 我之前所做所讲的那些话，它会很像自己去看到哦哪里错了，然后自己会去 correct 它。
Very good， 对。You can reflect back。And then you will understand, because before you have the clearer, deeper and stable understanding, then you can see that last time what you say is still not perfect, not truly correct. Then you know how to straighten it and make it more correct. That is true. But if your nature from your past is very strong, like my nature, I realize everything that I came to know and realize is already the correct thing already. I don't have to go through that. But for you, I believe you all will go through, because not everybody has that type of nature. So very good. You can see that it's very good. Means you start to develop deeper understanding, clearer understanding. And the Dhamma, when it starts to become clearer and more stable, then you can actually start to self-correcting. As you progress, you become different again. So like I say, unless people has cultivated and reached all these stages, I cannot share with you all more on it, because it doesn't make sense. But now different. Now it seems a lot of kayamita. Quite a number. Amazing the way they progress and develop. The sister say later on when there is condition, she will share. But she requested for it to be initially PNC. So I said, no problem, sure, PNC. That's why I share, but I never give name. But there are quite a number of kanyamita who has developed good progress after Po Ching sharing. That is what faith is all about. When you start to understand that there are others who can actually develop the understanding, especially Po Ching, she doesn't know anything. She was like any of you when you are new. She started only in 2016. And when she came for the first retreat, she still told us, she like Lia Bo Kiwa, catch no ball, doesn't know what is going on. Then only the last 2 years, things start to become different when she become very serious. when she followed the instruction I gave and she started to understand, then she starts to develop the ability to realize, then there was so much joy. And she said, it's so amazing. Exactly like what I say, things start to unfold and become what it is. And the understanding comes by itself, like I told her. It told you all, no need to know. When the deep become very stable, the silent become very stable, that wisdom energy, that nature will understand by itself. It will observe and understand by it. Then it can see all the movement of the mundane mind, the delusion, the wrong view, the habitual tendency, the security, the old heedless pattern. Then when it understand, it see, it cannot happen again. Like she said, you can stop it. It no longer move like last time because it's trained. Now you decide, not that thing decide. So the mundane mind slowly will tone down, settle down, and become beautiful for you to use. Then it's a beautiful tool and vehicle for you to use. Then you understand both sides. The mundane and the supra mundane, then you know how to live life, you know how to apply them, use them. And this is what the teaching is all about. So beautiful, so good. So when your daily life, you can have that understanding, means you are progressing well. Sadhu to you. So, sadhu. Continue to describe.
So, 有几个 case, 有一个就是以前和, 我有个 happy 就是有时啊、我的姐姐打电话给我，哇，她的声音很大声，然后她一打来就是一直 instruct 我做东西。The moment 我一听到这样的声音哦，哇，我的里面它就会自动那个 anger 就会 arise，
yeah.
And then, yeah. 然后那个声音，我自己也 reply 也是那个声音也是很大声。
Yeah,
我的 customer call 我的时候也是这样的 incident、
yeah.
But the moment 那个 mundane mind arise from 我的 heart 这样子一上来，我可以看到它这样子 arise、
yeah.
then, immediate, then 我就 immediately 的我就不 react
Yeah、Because the awareness is the one that prompt you、When you aware, then it will prompt you and tell you this is the wrong way to arise, like、
yeah.
wrong speech, wrong thoughtThen you know, once that thing awareness come, you will correct yourself.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when I give the sharing, certain type of like, sharing that I want to share, before it come out, inside will prompt me, you know, no, don't, because it's sensitive. Certain people may not understand. It's not conducive. The nature tell you or no, you will know or no.Then I will stop it. I will not share. But when the thing flow as it is, then I know everything is in accordance. Then it will come out. Meant to be will be. But whatever not meant to be, inside there will alert you. It's like the unisoma manasikara and your nature work together. The wisdom part is the one that allow you to explain all this and flow.But there are certain things that you want to share and give example. If the condition is not conducive, it will alert you. Like you have a sensation or a type of feeling that is not conducive for you to share. You know, then it will happen. So for your case is, you know that this is not the right speech. Understand or not? It's not to say to share because you are not sharing. This is your own self.Awareness to correct yourself first. So this is the initial part you will go through. So when you are aware, then you change. Then you accept her for what she is. You accept your customer for what they are. Because their condition decide how they behave. So like we have the understanding, the stability of it. People are just the way they are.Refined people speak refined words. Unrefined people will speak the unrefined, uncivilized type of speech and words. So when you understand, you can accept them for what you are, then you realize there is this silence within. Then you behave differently. You have love, you have compassion, yeah. Then you allow them to speak, then you listen. then if it continue to like your sister instruct you do this, do that, then you talk to her in a very nice way. How you address your sister, I don't know. You can address her in a certain way and say, can we discuss this later? Maybe when I at home or what. Then when there is condition, you try to explain to her. You say, I understand you mean good. Yeah? You have this, maybe she meant good, the intention is good, but her approach is she like instructing you very violent and all those things, very harsh, she speak very loudly. Yeah? Then you tell her it is about time. Yeah? You talk to people nicely, yeah? In a very gentle, pleasant way, so that you can get your message through and they will be happy to do it for you. Luckily, you talk to me. Yeah? You tell her, I can understand, that's why I can accept you. That's why in the office, I don't want to continue those type of speech. Then you have to start on your own. When you speak to her gently, politely, in a very different way, then she can sense that you have changed, you are different now. Then she will take note of that, and she will actually also become different. So next time when she call you, she will not behave this way. So this is one of the skillful means that you can develop to actually improve yourself, then people can feel that you are also different. Then when they can sense you different, they respect you. Then the way they approach you and talk to you also will be different. So this is the part that you need to maybe work on it and stabilize that understanding, so that in future, whenever you speak or communicate or do anything, you can cultivate noble eightfold path in a more like conducive way. Then you will know you have become different. The way you address people, the way you attend to situations, all different. Then the virtue, the kindness, the gentleness, the pleasantness, the sincerity, the gratitude, all will be sincerely expressed out. Then your noble eightfold path will start to take effect. And then you realize you have become different. That's how the cultivator actually transforms. So these are the stages you can go through. That's why mindfulness is very useful. That's all. You can continue. Huh? After that, what happened?
Okay, 还有另外一个 case, 就是有一天我在跟我的朋友吃饭，然后我们就在谈天。Okay, 我一直 arise 我的 view 这样子，那个，但我突然间看到我的那个我看到我自己的那个 thought, 很像一直要去 persuade 人家来 accept 我的那个我的那个 view. The moment 我一看到了，我就马上 stop 了，我就不一直不 continue 的一直要去讲话这样子。就 accept 他，让他去去讲他的。
Yeah, very good. Don't worry, this is normal. The initial phase, you will go through it because you are too eager to share, too eager to help. That word, too eager, because you are still like new to this, understand? But when you become more and more professional, or I should say more and more experienced or skillful, you become very different. You listen first. Then when there is condition to share, only you share. Otherwise, you won't share. You can try it. When you try first time, if there is resistance, never mind. Just let things be. So this is how the Dhamma unfolds, and you will learn. You see your mundane mind that is too eager to share or too eager to help or do good. That one is also a weakness, understand not? Because that one still lack the final stage of understanding condition. When there is no condition to share, let things be. When there is condition to share, share. Means you have not stabilized your understanding until you can see sign, see condition, and understand the mindset of the person you are interacting with or discussing with. So all this will be part and parcel of the cultivation. You will go through all this process. So this is usually the beginning of the real cultivator's cultivation. So what you describe is very good. So sadhu, give it up. Then you can improve on it, refine upon it.
对，这两个礼拜就一直很看到，一直可以很就，一直看到自己的那个mundane mind，但是我也不像以前这样一直问为什么为什么，一直想要去
没有这种 question doesn't come anymore
没有这种
analysis， that is reasoning doesn't help one 没有用的 ，because the lady that share with me one I told you just now one。She very good, no? After she understand perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. That understanding was so deep, that she realized whatever that she perceived and start to create the thought and the thinking, no meaning one. But that is all the mundane creation. So why want to think? Is it beneficial? If it's not beneficial?Forget about it. Just aware, finish, relax, silent. Because Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta, no reality. So you will have less and less of this Sankara activity. That's how you become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, less and less reactive. The duality, everything start to cease. When you can accept people,for what they are and the world as the world, that is the beginning of equanimity, beginning of having a mind that is at peace in all situations. So this has to stabilize, then only your daily mindfulness take off. So all these are very useful, very beautiful. Okay, continue. You have anything else?
哎呀，有点迟了，
不用紧，还可以可以到十一点。
就我一直在 realize that 哦，原来这些就是在 cultivate 这个八正道。我要 put 就是要 arise 那个 right effort 去 abundance 那些wrong thought。好，然后要去maintain 那个 mindfulness 去看自己的那个 mind， 整个人那个 understanding 很像他自己一直去 refine， 连你就一直看到这两个礼拜那个 thought 一直不一样，越来越近，越来越 silent， 就很像你就很像跟着那个 dharma 的那个 dharma 的 understanding 就很像一直在变成 unfold 这样。
Finally, you must remember.Accord and flow, but you must learn how to see condition first. You must have deeper understanding and deeper patience to actually go through all these phases. Then it will develop the stability of understanding and you will become different. On your own, you will know, you will understand. That's why last time when I went through all this phase, nobody taught me, nobody guide me, nobody know.I find out myself, where from my past, I was able to do all this. That's why I start to you when you can report all this, means you are starting to see all this. Then the real transformation and stability of the understanding is going into it. And later on, as this understanding all become very penetrative and very stable, the cessationthe longer cessation will happen. The glimpse of cessation, very likely most of you have realized it, gone through. Then later on, the more stable, longer time of cessation will happen when you just relax, silent everything, and don't try to know in the form of meditation. Then when the condition is there, when your wisdom is there, when you understand, think also like that, don't think also like that, then that cessation will come. Then when it comes,it will be the most beautiful, then you all can describe to me. Actually, that thing is very beautiful. Sadhu.
Brother, 其实我每次lunch hour, 我有做half an hour 的那个 lying meditation.
好啊，那个很好。
Actually, 我不是很打瞌睡, but the moment 我一 lie down, within five seconds 啊，我就整个人睡下去了。
Never mind, we are the nature want to meditate. Let it go into the unconscious. Then that nature want to meditate. So let it meditate. Let it go. Sometimes the body tired is because it wants to meditate. Then just go. But sometimes I can feel it. Then I will just go into a quiet place. I just lie down. Or sometimes I go to my car on the aircon, then I just lie down.
他 20 to 25 minutes 他又自己会自动 起来哇，他一起来是很 silent、很 aware 的，这样子就起来的、
Because your nature is meditating
睡觉这样子起来
It's not the normal sleep because it's your nature there going into the meditative state、it's at the nature there it is there, the awareness is thereAnd when it goes into that thing without your mundane mind interfering, where you go into the sleep, understand not? It's like you're silent, you're completely silent. Then you don't maintain awareness. Then that nature do by itself. That nature itself is intelligent. Then a lot of things will happen. It will transform inside. Where it is time to meditate, it will know. All this you will go through, you will experience them.
Okay.现在的 meditation 越来越容易了 the moment 一做下去就是 aware 到那个很 subtle 的那个vibration so
yeah actually many kayamita are now almost reaching those stage many kayamita, which is very good, sadhu.
应该是像了。
很好 sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.